All right. Good morning again. We're gonna keep the time going here. I got my voice stabilizer drink. Hopefully that'll help. Well, there's a couple of things here we wanted to talk through and just have a chance as a body to engage with before jumping into what Lord put on my heart to share on identity this morning. First would just be condolences for Rob and last week's defeat. I would love to mourn with those who mourn, but I'm not. No discussion on the games right now. So, no discussions on. I don't. La, 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 I can't hear anything. So, can send cards to his house or flowers. In all seriousness, did want to give just a number of times over the weeks ahead. I know many of us have been through the Perspectives course, but we just really view it as such a foundational thing. And so Janine got to share last week about how Perspectives has changed her world view, how it's changed her engagement with the kingdom in so many cool ways. And really just love to hear, mostly we're just trying to see the body just to say, this has been really good for me. This has been an opportunity for my growth. This has been my opportunity to engage with what God's doing in the world. And for a number of us that haven't been through the course, just to know it's a really good thing. It's going to refine your life. It's going to challenge you. It's going to encourage you. I think it's just a great 101 for what is God doing in this world? What is the goal? What should church's target be as a big target? What are we doing? If every church in Loveland had every seat filled today, would that be like, all right, we're good, the target's been hit? Or is there a bigger goal? And that's kind of what Perspectives is shooting for, is what is God's big goal? What is the Super Bowl for God? What's his big deal? And it's something that most Christians, most churches don't always spend a whole lot of time thinking about. And so this morning I asked Edgar to come and share, just to give a little bit of what Perspectives helped him with, where he's seen it change his life, grow him. So he's going to share a little bit of testimony about that.
Hi. So I don't even know where to start. As a commercial, I would just say, go. it's well worth it. One of the things that struck me, I think I went for the first time maybe 5 years ago, and then after that spent 3 years helping to lead it, and I'm going to be helping again this coming spring. And it's well worthwhile. Even if you've already been, go again. One of the things that you get out of Perspectives that you're not going to hear in a lot of places are just amazing stories. And for those of you that don't know, Perspectives is not something that our church runs. It's an organization that we partner with. And what they do is they bring in speakers from around the world. And these are usually, many of them are missionaries. Some of them you're going to recognize. I think Pat's going to teach one of the sessions. A lot of them are missionaries that are out in the field and are actively, doing the things that are being talked about in the class, and they're going to provide their perspective. So there's like about an hour of teaching and then a break and then an hour of them sharing their story, whatever is going on in their world and how it maps to what they just taught. And it's really encouraging to hear those stories. A couple of things that, you've probably heard this a million times, this whole concept of blessed to be a blessing, but that's really the first place that I had ever heard that. And it's something that was shared with Abraham, and it's something that's all throughout the gospel. You hear that, we're called to be disciples who make disciples. We are a lamp that is not meant to be hidden underneath a bushel, but is meant to cast its light for everybody. You know, Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Again, it's this idea of I'm being blessed, not because I'm this blessing sink, but this opportunity for me to overflow into other people's lives. So one of the things that happened as a result of perspectives, you know, just being encouraged, obviously, but then, just like, what am I going to do with this? I just felt this desire to go do something. And so we started going door to door in this neighborhood about a mile from our house and ended up centering on this apartment complex where we just kind of went door to door asking if they needed prayer for anything, ended up developing some really close relationships with some folks, some really crazy relationships too. And this is one of the things, you know, God's going to put you in some crazy situations if you let him, and they're all worth it. But a good relationship with an atheist who was willing to talk to us because he seemed to think we were, you know, on the up and up. And a relationship with a young guy who's getting married and just, helping him to wrestle with questions of the faith. And then a guy, this is the crazy one, who had just recently survived committing suicide and latched onto Dan Miller and myself and apparently tried committing suicide a couple times after that. And I mean, it was crazy to where he'd come to our house, tell us he's committing suicide, we grab his keys, you know, so that he can't leave, call the police, you know, stuff like this. And you know, he never did, but he needed a lot of prayer. We got involved with his family. And it's just amazing what kinds of opportunities you'll have if you just let God have a crack at your heart. And that's one of the things that Perspectives does. So I'll end with what I started with. Just go.
Well said. Just do it. Yeah, so that is coming up in January, and Edgar and Linda and Janine and others are helping, and Lori, many others, other churches. Like Edgar said, it's not our thing. We didn't come up with it. It's way too well done to be my thing. It's brilliant. And it's just a joy, though, to bring in others and to help others do this together. And that's my joy, is when the body at large is working together, not in competition or fear or suspicion, but to say we're stronger together than we are isolated and apart. And so that's the goal of that. Like I mentioned yesterday, a number of us were at a training in Greeley. It was the marriage equipping with Michael and Claudia. A lot of what they'd shared when we did a training with them a year ago, they went through. There's a couple of different new wrinkles to it. But if you remember, they came a while back and they did what was called the Build-A-Brain. Do you guys remember with the chairs and all those different things? Shared a number of those things. And we just wanted to give a chance, you know, in a lot of ways, they've got their organization and their vocabulary and how they try to help people move through that, whether individuals or couples or different church teams. Not all of what they propose or their vocabulary or how they would label things would we go the same way, but I think it's very complimentary, very helpful to buttress, if we can use that cathedral type of word. It really buttresses, I think, the oneness skills, the connect training that we've been doing, and a number of the concepts. And so I'd just love to hear anybody that was there yesterday, things that you were encouraged by, things you wanted to start practicing, trying to move into. What did God give you as a takeaway from the day you spent yesterday? So this would be another chance for hear from the body in that. Go for it.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I think one of the things I would say that's been really... So I've been doing this. This is my third time through the training-ish, because we did it once as like a small group. Then we did it as the church family. And then we did this one. So we've kind of gone through it. And then I've also gone through the other half of the church book. And it's been really helpful. I think one of the key takeaways I would have for it, and I want to continue doing, is practicing the joy exercises. So as you guys know, my mom passed away in July, and it's been good fuel for my heart. So it's kind of hard to explain, but I can have sadness and joy in the midst of remembering my mom's memories. And that is something that's huge. Just to have that fuel and that connection with God has been profound. It's where I can see, oh, I can see you, God, working in this way. Or, hey, yeah, I'm really sad that mom's dead, that I won't have this memory, but thank you so much for giving my mom this way, or having a grateful heart that way. And that's been, I was talking to Michael about that. That's been something really huge for me to have. So I don't know if it's not, it's nothing, none of these tool sets are like, oh, that's, this is the magic bullet that will slay the dragon or whatever. I don't know. But it's a, I think it's a very good tool set that we can have in our tool belt to help our heart be in a good spot to rewire neural pathways or whatever pathways in our head to help us to connect to it so that we can have like, oh, I can have relational joy with sadness. I can have relational joy with anger, which still haven't figured that one out fully yet. Cause I'm like, that's weird, Michael, but you know, how I'm still on the journey, but I think all of us, I think we can do that. So, I think that's something that I would really strongly suggest, just having, you know, it's 5 minutes a day, you know, morning and night. And so just having those lists of memories and having fun and remembering what God has done and remembering who he is and having a grateful heart for that. So anyway, that's a long promo, but that would be my thoughts.
Yeah, it was very worthwhile. Nathan asked a question, or he said people come to him and they say they can't find joy, as it's referred to a lot of times in the Bible. But my understanding, and David alluded to this, is joy and happiness aren't the same. That when people ask, you know, I can't find joy, they're really seeking happiness in how they react or feel to it. But there is joy in sad things. And I think that joy comes from just knowing that you are connected to each other and to God, and that happiness lies within that. So there were a lot of good practical things. I liked the introduction. I hadn't heard it or done it before, but they call it the Emmanuel process. Emmanuel means God with us. And it's a prayer format in which you pray to God and then you listen for God's response in it. And I found that really effective. That, as a matter of fact, Trudy and I were sort of praying the same thing. They said, you know, pray to him about a fear and anxiety that you have. And we were on the same page there, and we heard back about the same answer. So that was a really good new tool for us.
And any of the women that were there too are welcome to share too.
Yeah, I guess Molly was good.
Okay. I'll just add on to what Bob said, because from an outside source, a friend that I used to go to church with years ago, I heard about this little thin book called Joyful Journey, and Jim Wilder, who worked with Michael Hendricks, is one of the authors of that book, but it's more about that that process that you were just mentioning with that includes the listening prayer. And I was just telling Scott on the way home yesterday that's something that I would like to get better at, is hearing from the Lord. You know, there's lots of ways to pray, and just going to him with petitions, I think, is what lots and lots of believers that I've known primarily do, and that's kind of what I grew up being taught. But there's lots of ways to pray, and listening for God's response is really important. Sometimes it can be scary to me, because I'm like, I don't know, is that really what God said? So obviously it's important to be in the Word and to be testing things and all, but sometimes it's just something simple like, I'm going to take care of you, is what he will say. And so, learning to hear more effectively and to trust that his Spirit is leading me in things. So I've also appreciated that exercise, and it dovetailed nicely with the little book that I've been trying to go through.
Yeah, this is just a quick thing. This happened about 10 minutes ago. But so one of the concepts I think that landed on me yesterday was this idea of validation and consolation when someone is experiencing like big emotions or, you know, anger or frustration or distress or sorrow, and validation is coming alongside of them and feeling that with them. But then consolation and making it a relational and consoling them in a relational way. It's kind of, you know, I'm glad I could be with you in this or something like that. And so I can think of, I'm gonna probably be using that with my grandkids and of course my spouse. But anyway, like a few minutes ago, I was just really moved by what you were talking about, God wiping away our tears. I don't think I would have seen it this way if not for yesterday, but I just realized that's validation and consolation. The validation is, if we have tears, there's something going on. He's with us in our sorrow, but then he wipes away our tears. Like he's God. He doesn't have to do it. He could will away our tears, or you know, evaporate them, you know, by you know, with a thought. But no, he relationally, it says he's relationally going to wipe away our tears. And I just think that's pretty amazing.
Beautiful, yeah. Well said.
Stood out for me from yesterday was that so many of the practices that we have as human beings, whether that's eating, resting, working, exercising, learning, all those things are going on all the time. Some of them are to maintain or to be healthy, and some are to rebuild or to regrow things. Sometimes when we have an injury, you know, number of people have had shoulder surgeries in the room, and then there's this whole rehab that you go through to regrow strength or regrow something that isn't working properly. And so to understand that some of what they're working on, I don't know if anybody else caught it in the room, but he just said, we haven't figured that out yet. We're working hard to figure out how to help people regrow that. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he was saying. We haven't figured that one out, but we think God has a way for us to help people get healthier. And so when we're talking about relationally, spiritually, physically, you know, a lot in the room have had difficulties with food issues and so on, and have had to rebuild and redefine how they eat and what they eat so that first they can be healthy, but then hopefully grow more health in their systems. And so that's a part of what we do physically. I just don't know how often we think about that relationally, because you are a product of growing up, and you may have broken places emotionally, relationally that need God to touch or to heal. And so how hard they're working to help people, the brokenness falls on every part of our personhood, and to just not assume, oh, this is who I am, this is who I'll always be stuck in this place where I don't connect well with people, right? I can't experience joy. I can't find my people. I'm too isolated. I'm too introverted, or whatever it might be. That God wants to take all of us on a journey of healing in every arena of our life, and take care of some of that brokenness so we can more fully enjoy Him and each other. So, just again, I'm glad to be a part of what they're doing, and supporting what they're doing, because they're not done. They haven't said, okay, we got all the answers. We're still working to figure out how to help people and serve people. So I appreciate their heart. And I picked that up.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I share something?
Yeah, go for it.
Just a small little thing that I got from it was, you know, just the difference. We all can't figure it out, but we all have like a ton of cortisol flowing in our body, and it's not a good thing for our bodies, and it comes with stress and doing too much and just all those kind of things. But just the way God designed the body is one simple inhale 5 seconds, exhale out through the mouth 5 seconds, changes the cortisol levels in our body and brings in serotonin, which is more of a calming effect. And I just go, that simple thing alone could save our health. And again, they're seeing it in the brain that that's how it does and what it works. And I'm just like, God is so amazing. Just one breath, like when you're in a disagreement with somebody or when you're, you know, at a long line or your flight gets canceled or, you know, anything like that, we have capacity to change things. And or we're having a hard day, just take a couple breaths. And I just thought, Lord, that's so simple, but so healthy for us. Thank you. I was just really grateful for that. And then the other thing he said that I thought was really good, he said, so much of us put so much emphasis on the problem and not the relationship. And so we need to move that dial to put the relationship higher than the problem. And I thought, that's a good reminder, Lord, that you're in control and I'm not. Mm.
So. Amen. Last call, Mr. Mahaly.
Yeah, it was pretty profound for me. More I think about it too, but I like going down to the definitions. And so for some of you guys that didn't, you know, don't know what we're talking about, it's based on some brain science, and it starts when you're a little baby, and these connections that are made that, you know, of course, being safe and being delighted in. And I just loved all the scripture, the fact that all of the science, you know, new science is still always pointing to things God already said. And he actually gave us all those things to do to accomplish what they're talking about. And so anyway, that one big thing for me was, you know, what is joy? And I guess I don't remember it from the time they were here, but the idea is we have joy when we are with somebody that wants to be with us. And, you know, I'm struggling in a few relationships, and realize, well, the big thing about it is that and the wisdom of God is putting some things into practice, like how you respond is you know, primary one we probably all struggle with. But doing it right, you know, builds this connection, this positive connection. And guess what? You're helping that person be healthier, and at the same time, you're improving that relationship so that person can, you know, actually become a person that wants to be with you. So you get joy out of that. So anyway, just it's everything that God does, asks us to do is for our benefit, and it just benefits in so many more ways than, you know, we can think or imagine.
Yep.
So do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Yeah, I appreciated the time for sure, and I think just their desire to keep bringing training like that, I think part of it, everybody's going to have to kind of take it apart and put it back together, and how does this work for each of us, and how does this work for us as a church body? I appreciate it. Cindy had a question halfway through the day. They kept talking about growing these neural connections, right, and bundles of neurons, and they just kept saying that phrase, bundles of neurons are forming. And Cindy at one point just goes, so what's the value of a bundle of neurons? You know, what's the point of having a bundle of neurons form? And just the reality is that we can't see all this deep stuff that's going on inside us intellectually, in our souls, and all those things. What it is, it's building that sense of, I'm enjoying being with you. I delight to be with you. This isn't a pain and a burden for me to be with you. I'm not just waiting for you to be done so that I can leave. It's this place of communion and fellowship, and the more that we can do that in our marriages, in our families, as a church body, what will the world know that we are Jesus' disciples by is our great love and oneness with each other. You're not going to be able to love and be one with people you don't enjoy spending time together, right? And so developing these practices that you go, this is my delight to be with you, I thought was just so great. A lot to chew on there. It's probably more than we could chew on in a day.
So there's lots to unpack. My encouragement would be those one or two things that you want to do is try to start walk those out. Don't try to do everything they talked about yesterday, because that's more or less, I think, kind of most of their training. It would take time to incorporate all that. So, but as you're doing that in your marriages and in your families, just to grow joy, it is a missing ingredient, I think, in so much of life and in the society everywhere we're at. So thanks for all those that invested in that and put their time and heart into that. So with the time we have left, I did want to just tee up what the whole idea with identity is, and also give you a resource this week. It's not a new resource. A number of you probably already have it, but for those that don't, want to give it and kind of just asking, we'll get to the question. Let me pray, and we'll jump right into this. Lord, just thank you for yesterday. Thank you for what you're doing in Perspectives. Thank you for what you're doing with Michael and Claudia and in our marriages and in our families. We pray that as the family of God, we would work hard to develop habits and ways of being that lead our heart into delight with each other and with you. It wouldn't be a drag. It wouldn't be, I'm suffering for the Lord to do this. It really would flow from this place of life and connection. Thank you for this morning. Pray that you would touch this time in your word, what you have for us, in your identity over us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to talk about kind of this dichotomy that I feel like maybe you felt in identity in Christ. Is it feels like a lot of times when people think, what is a Christian? Well, let me ask you. If you were to ask the world, what is a Christian, what do you think people would say? What would be some of the first answers? What is a Christian? They go to church. What's that? Politically conservative. What? They believe in God. What else do you guys think that people would? What's that? A believer? Yep, for sure. Judgmental? Is that? Yep. Yeah, I think you'd kind of get a mixed bag. I think the person who first shared, I forget who just said they go to church. I think we would tend to think of, what are they actions? What are they doing? Oh, Christians, they have Bibles and they go to churches and they do these things. And maybe if this whole concept and series on identity, what we're trying to see is there's a whole lot of actions in following Jesus that has to be first primed and fueled by a whole lot of being and who you are, right? And so if Christianity is just show up and sit in a seat and serve every once in a while and open your Bible every once in a while and do these things, it's pretty dry. That would not be very compelling for me. come do these things. And what I said last week is God's call is first and fundamentally not for you to go do a bunch of stuff, but for you to become a different kind of person, for you to become someone in his image, who he's made to be with him. And so that's what we're looking at first and foremost. All of what we do flows from who we are. Eagles fans root for the Eagles. They do the things of Eagles fans because they're Eagles fans, right? People... It's always interesting when people go, oh, are you a runner? That's an identity statement. Most people who run but don't have that identity, go, oh, no, I'm not a runner. I just run every once in a while. I just do the activity. I don't see that as an identity. So in your attending and gathering together, in your opening up of Scripture, in your singing and declaring the excellencies of God, do you go, oh, no, I'm not a worshiper. I just every once in a while sing. That's just what we do. Or do you go, no, I am a worshiper. That is who I am through and through. It's the identity of being that flows into the doing. That's what we're trying to talk about in all of this. And what I wanted to do just with, I know we don't have a lot of time and we're not going to talk a lot about a lot, but just look at John 15, and I think this probably paints to me the clearest picture of what we are doing and what you're physically engaging with, flowing and stemming from what you're being and connected to. That's the call of identity. Do you see the connection that God has for you to become something different, to be something different, that then animates and motivates and equips and transforms all of what you're doing? Does that make sense? So just some thoughts here from John 15, and then a resource for your weeks and ahead. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's just crystal clear. This is one of your identities. Whether you understand it or fully live it out as a believer, you are called to be a branch of the vine of Jesus. That is what he says you are. And if you either don't know that, don't want to do that, or aren't equipped well to do it, what he's saying is you're not going to be able to bear the fruit that he's trying to bear in this world through that being a branch. It's a relational connection to Jesus. It's a vital connection. It's not automatic, because he says there are some that don't do it, right? So just being a believer doesn't mean I automatically abide. There's a work of identity in connecting every day. This is who I am. This is who God's made me. I connect back to your purposes, not about my kingdom, not about my possessions, not about all these other things, but what you have in store for me, Jesus. And what's interesting to me is that the Father has his hands on every branch. He says he's going to work with those that aren't bearing fruit. He's going to put his hands on those, and there's going to be a disciplining hard process. There's also a pruning process for those that do abide. So lest we think, I could abide so well that God would never prune me and bring pain. That doesn't exist. That is his role. That is whose we are. And he says, who we are the branches. And this is, I think, a good humbling thought too for me as I was reflecting on it, is Jesus says, this is where the life is going. It is not about just because you were this branch at one point or this one time that all this great stuff will happen. It's only in your connection to the vine that your fruitfulness flows. And believe it or not, life will continue through the life of Jesus, whether you're connected to that or not. I think I really wrestled through that when I first moved from Fort Collins to Loveland. You establish this identity in this place and these relationships. And you go, man, I'm moving. I bet everything's so different. And lo and behold, life is still going on in Fort Collins. And people still love Jesus. And it's just different for me, because it's about Jesus's work. It's about what he's doing, not because of what I was doing or what I was involved in. So when you reflect on being a branch in the vine, what I'd love for you this week to try to bring into your world is that all of these identities only work as you are relating to the person of Jesus. They aren't objects to just kind of put on and take off. They work in connection to him. So it doesn't work for me to say, I really want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, and I don't want to hear from you, God. Like, that's impossible. That doesn't work. I really want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, and don't ask me to do any of those hard things that you're asking me to do. That doesn't work. That's what we're going to see in the rest of John 15. Our fruitfulness comes from our connection to him. So our goal with this series is, do you know how to connect in all those different ways? Our production is from our connection. And in America, and in a lot of us wired to be very productive, very task-oriented, Jesus says it all stems and flows first from being with him. Are you taking the time to slow down to say, this is who I am. This is, I need to transform my mind. I need to renew my mind. I need to receive, not to win his approval and say, you're the best out of all of them, but because I love you. You're my son in my family that I'm working through in these different ways. You, here's another idea. Do you believe that you could outproduce the fruitfulness of God not connected to him? I think I've at times thought that. I know, Lord, if I slowed down and did things, you know, a bit more loving and patiently, that that would be good. But I've got a lot of stuff to do. And as long as I can get all that stuff done, then that's the productive life that you're wanting me to get done. That's just a lie. It's just a lie. So for us to say all of the good fruit that could flow from you in your world will stem completely from your ability to connect and to relate to the vine. What does the rest of this passage say? If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So going back to what Pat was sharing, identity is your birthright, but it is not something that's automatic. Abiding is not automatic. I don't know about you guys. I don't wake up in the morning and just go, whoa, I just woke up in this abiding sense of perfect connection with Jesus. There's a work of cultivating our hearts, of turning our ears towards the Lord, of quieting ourselves, of enjoying the memories and the thankfulness and gratitude of what he's done. All of that's included in abiding. And what's at stake is, what's the last piece of this is your joy. And what Bob was saying, joy is not the same as happiness. So the birthright of joy and rich joy in the Lord stems from this deep cultivation in who are you being? Who are you becoming? What are you spending your time renewing your mind in? Now, obviously there's things at stake there. So our identity, what's at stake there is your fruitfulness, your lasting fruitfulness, your fruit that abides, not just over a week or a month, a lifetime of fruitfulness in this. The Father's glory is at stake. That by this my Father's glorified, that you'd so prove to be my disciples. When you do this well, when you abide in your identity, the Father gets glory. Boy, that's really energizing to me. God gets more glory as I dive into this more, not just crank out widgets and cool stuff for productivity's sake. But if I do this well, full joy, connection. But here's what I'd like for us to think about this week. I think we create these false dichotomies. While I was singing, while Andrew was sharing scripture, while I was sharing communion, while all those things, those are spiritual things. And when we're driving home and preparing lunch and working this week and doing all the other things, those are physical things. And we kind of segment life. I think almost every place I've gone has segmented life into these human flesh things compared to these spiritual good things. And in general, we think there's a big line between the two. So right now, we're being spiritual. We're listening to spiritual thoughts on the word. We sang. But later, man, we got to do some human things. We probably need to do some gardening, get the leaves started to get cleaned up. Those are just physical. Those aren't spiritual things. And this is how pastors talk. I in a pastor's meeting, and a pastor's talking about how his car broke down. And I was just like, well, that's really sad. What broke down on your car? I wanted to hear more about why his car broke down. He goes, I don't want to bore you with that. Let's talk about more spiritual things. I go, well, isn't it a spiritual thing to care and to like be involved with each other. I didn't say that. I just said, okay, we can talk about something else. But we do that. We break life into these physical versus spiritual. This is Gnosticism. This is what the early church said. This doesn't exist. This whole divide that the physical is bad, the spiritual is good. That's how we tend to think in general, I think, as humans. We did the really spiritual stuff at church, and now I got to go do the physical stuff back at home that doesn't count. It's just grunt stuff that makes life happen. Rather than, and it kind of breaks into this whole idea of doing and being. I have to do a lot of stuff, which isn't spiritual. It's just things that has to be done. But man, I bet pastors, they just read the Bible all day, I bet. I bet they're just like in this prayer pose and singing, and they're just Bible studying all day. And that's not what I do. There's a lot of doing, and there's a lot of being, and that they work together. And that's what this passage in John 15 is all about. When you go to school, that can be a spiritual thing. When you're driving, that can be a spiritual thing. And not in this over-spiritualization of everything, but as you are connected and relating to God, as you dig holes and rake leaves and do all that you do, there is not this divide. It is all flowing from the life of Jesus within you, that identity. And all of that informs each other, okay? So identity is that DNA that God has given. You have a new creation in him. He's given you new DNA. This, however, is not DNA that just automatically reproduces. This is the difference between physical and spiritual DNA. You have to sow towards the spiritual DNA. Right? This isn't, to bear that image requires a uniting and a working with your will with his to abide in that. It's there. It's your birthright. You've been given it, and God wants you to unite with him to unlock all of that DNA into all that. And not just so that you go, cool, I've got a pancreas that can sing or whatever. I've got these spiritual organs that can do things so that we can follow him, right? So all of this works together in our discipleship. Does that make sense? All of this identity is trying to build our sowing towards that DNA that Jesus has given us in him to then become more like him. Not just to grunt it out, not just to say, I'm suffering for the Lord. Suffering for the Lord by doing all these things. But to say, this is who I am. Altogether different. Okay? So, what the resource is this week is, this is something I think Pat put together years ago, primarily verses through the victory over the darkness, the resources we've been talking about. Primarily, identity is broken into three statements. If you were to say, what is your identity in Christ? It'd be primarily three things. You are accepted in Christ. You are significant in Christ. And you are secure in Christ. Those three fundamental identities are true of you. These would just then be verses that go into each one of those headings. What I'd love for you to consider is just having this with you as you live. Maybe this is on your bathroom mirror. Maybe this is in your car. Maybe you want to make it more smaller bits and put it around, because it's not just spiritual stuff right now as we talk about it, and then you leave it and you go, I wonder when I'm going to do another spiritual thing later. In the course of all that you're doing, as you abide, as you remain, as you do all of your life, could you go back to that place of, because I'm God's son, I'm going to dig this hole to the glory of God. Because I'm God's workmanship, I'm going to work on this thing I have to do on my computer for the glory of God. Are you able to consciously think that all the time? No, and I don't think we're meant to. Start every action because I am a part of the vine, I'm going to start my car. I don't think that's what we're looking for. But what we're looking for is, in your days, can you interrupt yourself to say, am I being? Am I operating out of this place? And that this is a spiritual opportunity for me to be God's son, to be his servant, to be his witness, to be his ambassador, to be his workmanship. in all of those things. And so this would be something that you could put anywhere you want, where it would be helpful for you. So that it's not, I went and did all that physical stuff. Oh man, can we talk about spiritual things now? Because all that wasn't. But to live a life that's connected to the vine. Do you see that the goal is not our doing a lot of productive things, but to remain in him in that sense, in that place of being, we will bear much fruit. Finish this morning with John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So this is what's freeing for me. I don't need to ask permission to go bear fruit and abide with Jesus. He's already let you know right here, he's appointed you to do this. You have been appointed and chosen to live in your identity, connected to the vine, and bear much fruit. You don't need to wait for somebody to say, should I go bear a lot of fruit today or not? Is that God's will for my life today or not? Should I wake up and wonder if that should happen? That's what he's chosen and appointed you to do, is as you remain in him, in that new birth, in that new creation, and as you do all the things that you're going to do to bear much fruit as you're connected to him. It will only come as you're connected to him. That's the good news of identity. Don't have to struggle yourself into being a good, fruitful plant. The grapevines don't go, ah, we're going to really put out some big grapes this year because we're working so hard. It's because their connection to the vine. Could you interrupt your week, your days? Just quick acknowledgments. Lord, this is only done by your power. Help me to be submitted in my weakness and in my strength to you. Let your words flow through me in this next meeting I'm about to have. Come and enter my world with all that I'm doing. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that you want to be with us. And Lord, I tell you that I want to be with you. And I don't want to view my life in a kind of dichotomy of the good things for you and the bad things, the things that I have to do. I pray that for each of us, Lord, that you just help us to see the rich blessing that you've appointed us towards as we bear much fruit connected to you. And God, if there's places, whether we're parenting, schooling, working, all that we're doing, all of what could be done in an eternal sense, would you help convince our hearts that the best of it will happen connected to you? That I can't outproduce the life, the good life, apart from you. There's no way for me to bear more fruit than staying in step with you. And so would you convince us and persuade us if we're prone to believe that's not the case? We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Just a reminder, if you weren't here earlier, for the Kintsugi workshop, we are getting fuller than we can. So if you're able to come, not in the morning, but in the afternoon, that it's ideal for that to be between, 20, 30 people. We have way more than that. So we're going to have two, one from 9:30 to 11:30, and one from 1:30 to 3:30. And the RSVP now has a slot for morning or afternoon. If you can alter towards the afternoon, that will help probably just manage that for Kurt and all that's going on. So if you could take a look, fill that in. Thanks. Have a great day.